Just because it's called the big game doesn't mean you have to play it like a big game. We explain in this final edition for season two of the Todd Wright Survivor Football Podcast. This will be it. Thank you for supporting me, whether you have listened via joebucksfan.com, via the iHeartRadio app, however you have chosen to listen. Your communication with me via email at wright.todd@yahoo.com is appreciated. I'm happy I have been able to give you quality second opinions on who to play in Survivor, who to play straight up, who to play against the spread, especially in these NFL playoffs. We're going out strong, independent of what happens on Sunday between Eagles and Chiefs. I feel very, very good that I have been 9-3 against the number for you in these playoffs, and 7-0 against the number in the last seven games played in the playoffs prior to Super Bowl LIX. 7-0 against the number for me the last seven playoff games prior to the Super Bowl. 7-0, by the way, straight up now. 6-1 against the spread. The Eagles in games where Sean Hockley is the lead referee. Amidst all this talk about refs and Chiefs, in games Sean Hockley has been the referee, the Eagles are 7-0 after the NFC Championship game and 6-1 against the number. Quick word for Brandon Legal Group. They pay for this podcast, so you don't have to. They are a full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. The quick message they want me to convey to you as a non-paid non-attorney spokesperson is if you are a one example, they are a full-service law firm that covers many things. To find out how it covers your legal need, you can request a free consult at brandonlegalgroup.com or call 813-902-3576. And we have focused on this now for about 19 months. If you are an adult male residing in the state of Florida and you continue to pay permanent alimony, what are you doing? Permanent alimony has not been law in the state of Florida since July 1st, 2023. Contact Brandon Legal Group to reduce or potentially eliminate future permanent alimony payments if you are a state of Florida resident. 813-902-3576, brandonlegalgroup.com. Let me scroll through a few things that are legally available to me residing in the state of Florida, the only place I can legally bet the game in the state of Florida. They don't sponsor the podcast, so I have no obligation to mention them. The odds are not as good as being able to shop around in Vegas or in other states. And that's one of the things they take advantage of. But I'll just walk through some things here, and then I'm going to go to a VegasInsider.com page updated by Patrick Everson. Patrick works so hard, so good at what he does, talking to the odds makers and the experts in Vegas. He's a great follow on Twitter X, and just a heck of a fun guy as well. Great pop culture knowledge. We'll get to some of Patrick Everson's stuff here in a moment and talk about some things he's discovered. So by now, most of you know, based on things I've laid out in previous podcasts, even prior to the playoffs, I'm not going to stray from anything I've said to this point. Since I have said for almost a calendar year, I thought the Chiefs would get back to the Super Bowl, and instead of making history by winning three in a row, they would lose instead of win the Super Bowl. I stand by that. The Eagles have looked like a team that could be the one to take them down for a while. And remember, I said in this space before the Rams-Eagles game in the snow, while I had a ticket and still liked the Rams, I said, as quickly as I would take the Rams and the points, which covered, and the money line did not, I would make a bet immediately after on the Eagles to win the Super Bowl if they beat the Rams. And I talked about their path to get to the Super Bowl and win it, anticipating the Lions losing at home to Washington, which would allow Philly to host Washington. And you saw how that game went. We were on the right side on that one. Early in the playoffs, I talked about Saquon Barkley, the respect he had based on the high numbers for his rushing yards total props, and just watching him, what he did the first time he touched the ball against Washington, how he puts games away, how the Eagles and Kellen Moore have reinvented their offense in this sustained stretch of winning every game Jalen Hurts has started and finished since the early season loss to the Bucs, by riding Saquon Barkley, by limiting Jalen Hurts to roughly 22-ish. The number on average went, I guess, up a tick, maybe not even one tick, with the blowout against Washington because Hurts had the ball in his hand so much. It reminds me of, and I know Eagle fans hate this, the way Jimmy Johnson's triplets won and controlled the game when Dallas was winning Super Bowls in the early 1990s. Aikman didn't throw it much. Emmett ran it a ton behind a very powerful offensive line that protected both of them. And then the defense was able to do the rest by protecting leads. Opponents were too predictable, were behind the chains, behind on the scoreboard, and on from there. I still think that formula can work for the Eagles against the Chiefs, a very well-coached defense, a talented defense. We did have this game 2 years ago. It came down to the very end. Some would say the difference was a questionable officiating call that did go Kansas City's way, that allowed them to milk the clock and kick a last-second field goal or go overtime. They made the field goal. I claim two big plays in the game were why Kansas City won it. A scoop and score off a Jalen Hurts fumble, what, early second quarter with the Eagles up 14-7 that kept the Chiefs in it, and a late punt return, at the time the longest punt return in NFL history, that set up a touchdown 3 plays later to put the Chiefs in a position up 8, where they controlled the game no matter what. Eagles go down, score, get 2, fine. We still have the ball next. And that's how that played out. Two big plays in the game. One in the first half, one in the second half. One put points on the board. Both put points on the board basically for the Chiefs. One directly, one set the ball up at the 5. Both went Kansas City's way, damaging Philadelphia. That Kansas City team, to me, not better than this Kansas City team. That Philadelphia team, not as good as this Philadelphia team. So I see plenty of reasons to stick with what I have said about Kansas City losing in this spot, not having things go their way, as so many things have this year. And Philadelphia being able to play power football, not dominate, but do enough to win the battles at the line of scrimmage and ride Saquon Barkley in particular to playing from a lead, potentially more than one possession, that makes Kansas City's life difficult. Yes, Kansas City is outstanding winning close games. Maybe this game isn't close. Maybe it's more like Super Bowl 55, where the Bucs got out early, played from a comfortable lead, and Mahomes was superhuman in what he was trying to do to bring the Chiefs back, and it was 1 against 11. That Chiefs offensive line reminds me in some ways of this Chiefs offensive line. Sure, that was Tom Brady. This isn't Tom Brady. This is Jalen Hurts. But you know what? Jalen Hurts is getting back to a Super Bowl as the first quarterback to do it, who lost his first attempt at a Super Bowl. The last one to do that was Jim Kelly. And granted, Kelly didn't go on to win it later. John Elway got there and did get back, and he won not one, but two. So I like Eagles. The spread is almost irrelevant. It's just going to give you whether it goes off at one for a moment in some shops. We record this on Friday at 4 o'clock. On Friday morning at least one shop, thanks to Patrick Everson doing this homework, it went to even. The game could go off as Eagles favored, by the way. It could go off as even. Could go off as Kansas City minus one. We're all around it. Pick your winner. Might be irrelevant based on the unlikelihood the game ends as a one-point game. One of the things I will do, I will play the Eagles over their implied total points, and I will play the Chiefs under their implied total points. As an example, on a legal betting app available to me in the state of Florida, I can get plus 120 right now on the Eagles scoring more than 25.5. I can get plus 155 on the Chiefs under 21.5. And you can vary those numbers in different ways. Let's go to spread. Because one of the things that those who were on the Buccaneers side, who could play it a number of different ways, alternate spreads, if you played it across the board, that the Bucs would win by a field goal, win by a touchdown, win by double digits, you increase your odds. So let's just speculate a bit that the Eagles are going to win this game, and they're going to win this game comfortably. Let's start with winning by a field goal. I see the Eagles laying 3. That would get me plus 140 as we speak right now. I can make it 3.5 and get 155. And that's a pretty significant step up to me. I mean, you could say on 3, well, that's a push. So something in there would be appealing to me. Then I'm like, okay, let's see what I can get for dropping a touchdown. I see laying 6 at plus 230. So over 2-to-1 odds there to lay 6. If I want to lay 7.5, and in a lot of these big games recently, We've been getting on scores of 8, where the difference is 8 points. At some point, there's a two-point conversion or a missed two-point conversion. So I can lay 7.5 and get 3-1. I like that. And if I want to go even further, I can go up to laying 10 at plus 425 at 4-1. And then the most I can get legally in Florida right now on an alternate spread would be laying 12.5 at plus 525. I would probably not offer the hook there and just take the laying 12 at plus 500. So I will probably have, as Patrick Everson would say, some Chili's money on some of these alt lines for the Eagles. Nothing big, where I'm just like, hey, if they win by 3, 8, 10, 13, I'm going to hit some of these. Maybe I'll hit all of them if they win by 2 touchdowns. This is where I also stop. I'm going to go to player props on anytime touchdowns and first touchdowns. Just because this is the Super Bowl doesn't mean you have any obligation to play it as a big game for you. Let me just tell you about my situation. Again, I've hit my last 7 playoff games against the number. I'm 9-3 against the spread in these playoffs. Why do I need to play this game big? I don't. Some would say, well, it's house money. Yeah, and I'd like to use that money for some other things. So I'm not playing this game big. If it was 3-9, if I was 3-9, I wouldn't be playing this game big. You not only don't chase your losses, if you don't feel great about something, why sacrifice your wins? Why mortgage your profit? So, sure, I'm going to bet Eagles land a field goal. Eagles land 7.5. Eagles land 9.5 or 10. Eagles land maybe 12.5. But it won't be a lot because I feel good about what I've already done by getting to 9-3 against the number and winning the last 7. If nothing else, sometimes I play both sides and I'll hit some live action during this game based on how things are going, based on what's happening, the vibe I get, the odds available. So I'm probably not going to do a lot with Kansas City to, quote, hedge my bet, to potentially win back some of the money that I could potentially lose on Philadelphia. A, I don't have to because I'm up so much in the playoffs. B, I might hit that live. If things aren't going the way I thought they're going to go, negative for Kansas City, positive for Barkley and the Eagles, then I can hit some live action on Kansas City. And that's my hedge. Somewhere around halftime, maybe after halftime, maybe just before halftime. Interesting that as I speak right now, I cannot bet on Saquon Barkley legally in Florida for a first, last, or anytime touchdown. So those numbers are being recalculated as we speak because he's the prohibitive favorite for first, last, and anytime TD. Thank you. It's just updated. First touchdown, plus 525. Oh, I'm sorry. They took him down. Okay, so it's just recalculating. Jalen Hurts is next. Kareem Hunt, which I had for first touchdown of AFC Championship game, is plus 700 for first touchdown of this game. I think that's about the same as it was AFC Championship. And it just moved to plus 750 as I speak. Plus 120 for an anytime touchdown. then Kelce, then Worthy, all these in ascending order of value. A.J. Brown, Isaiah Pacheco. That Dallas Goedert touchdown prop. First touchdown plus 1,200. Last touchdowns are, they're fun, but there's a lot of guesswork in those. Goedert plus 240 just to score. That intrigues me. Juju intrigues me. I had him at a big number to score in any time in the AFC title game, and he nearly did. He's not as big to score any time in this one at plus 500, but to score first touchdown is 30-1. Last touchdown is 22.5-1. A Kenneth Gainwell touchdown at plus 850 is interesting to me. Not for much, but just at those big odds. I want to look at one passing prop, and that's Jalen Hurts interceptions. Yep, under a half at minus 140. Sounds about right. He's only thrown one pick, right? He didn't have a pick in the NFC Championship game. He's only thrown one pick since the loss to the Buccaneers. Granted, you can get to the end of the game if the Eagles are behind and he forces one. That can happen. But I like playing interception over or under props. And to me, there's a reason that one is the favorite of the four, is Hurts under half an interception at minus 140. Okay. Butker over under 1.5 field goals. Interesting that the under is plus 140. If the Eagles are dictating the action, could that make Kansas City more aggressive to go on fourth down or not roll Butker out there? Or are we going to have another crappy field like we've had for a lot of Super Bowls that makes it tough on the kickers to plant their feet properly? You know what I might rather do? Even though Butker under 1.5 field goals is plus 150, Butker under 7.5 points is plus money. And if the Chiefs are being forced to score touchdowns or go for two, that makes it less likely Butker's going to get to 8 points. So I would look at that. Let's just see where Barkley's rushing stat is. 112.5, that's down from where it was in the previous game against Washington, with an acknowledgement to Kansas City being among the best in the league at limiting explosive plays in the running game. This is Saquon Barkley. So I won't be considering any unders involving Barkley. And just the fact that his rushing stat in the Super Bowl is at 112.5 should also tell you he's going to be a big factor in this game. Xavier Worthy over under 6.5 yard rushing attempts seems low, because all he needs to do is kind of break that first wave, and then it's just a matter of what angle does he have. How is Dallas Goedert in a rushing stat of over or under a half yard? That's interesting. Why is that there? Just file that one away. If Dallas Goedert rushes for 1 yard or more, you get nearly 2-1 money. Interesting. Okay, let's go to what Patrick Everson wrote about some things. First of all, Everson did acknowledge, we've already mentioned it, that on Friday morning in one online shop, we got to even. This game could go off as Eagles minus one. It could go off as Chiefs minus one. Money is continuing to flow in mid to late part of the week on the Eagles. And it's pretty much one-way action on the over on the total, which is interesting because the total is ticking down. So the money is coming in on the over, yet Vegas is lowering the total. What does that tell you? So Patrick did an additional column about five popular Super Bowl 59 prop bets, player to score first touchdown, coin toss, will there be a successful two-point conversion? For those of you who are fans of the octopus, just know I'll be paying attention to that too. Will the game go to overtime? Gatorade color, I don't get into that. Five Super Bowl prop bets that sharps are making. Longest rush for Saquon Barkley. This plays to the Barkley versus Kansas City being very good against explosive running plays. Some feel the number is too high for Saquon Barkley's longest rush. But I think simply Vegas here is protecting itself because anytime Barkley touches the ball, he can go the distance. Patrick Mahomes rushing yards. I've heard Jay Croucher on shows this week from New Orleans talk about how he likes the over on Mahomes' rushing yards at a number of shops in and around 28.5. I do not. Like Mahomes on the over rushing total. Nick Bolton total solo and assisted tackles. Bolton had the scoop and score, right? In Super Bowl 57. Jahan Dotson receptions. It's kind of like the Goddard rushing stat. All he would need is one to hit the over there. To me, that's a little out there. Total number of Chiefs with a rushing attempt over under 4.5. If you get a Mahomes carry, a Kareem Hunt carry, a Pacheco carry, a Xavier Worthy carry, that's four. You'd need one more from somebody else. Could Kelsey run a version of the tush push? Could they run, remember, a jet sweep? If the ball is pitched forward by Mahomes, it's a pass. It's not a run to Juju or Hollywood Brown. Or, as Patrick Everson writes, perhaps this scenario unfolds. The Chiefs are in full control in the fourth quarter and back up. Carson Wentz, the former Eagle, comes in and gets a rushing attempt on a kneel down to become the fifth rusher. Yeah. And that would hit the over in that scenario. So there's a lot of fun things for you there. You see where I feel. I won't play it big. I don't have to. Because of how I've done through the postseason so far. So I'll play for the Eagle blowout and see if the odds pay off. And then if it doesn't appear like it's going to be that way, I may hedge during the game, depending on what I see in the game, to try to win back some of those payouts in the base by just getting the money I spent back on some sort of a Chiefs play. But there are some Chiefs things that I like involving Kareem Hunt, involving Xavier Worthy. We talked about the Butker play, which is actually a play against the Chiefs. I mentioned Mahomes under his rushing yards total. So got a number of things out there. I like Juju. Maybe I'll look at Juju's receiving yards or totals. But that's where I am. We won't have another meaningful football game until college football starts on Labor Day weekend, and then the NFL will have the winner of this game host the Thursday night after Labor Day weekend. We'll be filling our time doing other things in our life. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Thank you for listening to all my podcasts. I really appreciate it. I'm not right all the time. Nobody is. But I feel good about what I've done for you this year, particularly in the playoffs. And stay in touch. Write.todd@yahoo.com. Write.todd@yahoo.com. Brandon Legal Group, if they're on board, we'll do this for a third season. Remember, I have the Todd Wright Toddcast continues year-round. sponsored by Brandon Legal Group and often by Pin Chasers or other Tampa Bay area businesses. So find the Todd Wright Toddcast and continue listening to that until we start football season again for the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, which will be going on its 10th season, and this one hopefully going on its third. Enjoy the game. The Todd Wright Survivor Football Podcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group.